Do you understand the universe? You think yes. And you have rules. I'm sorry. The rules are oversimplification of this stuff. In rules, this is a human being. Is she? Look at it. Is she a human being? Like others? Is she like other human beings? Up to 50 years ago, I remember that everybody thought, yes. And I will answer yes. But now, DNA is here. And you know that she is unique, exception. She has a trick in that DNA that could be the best thing for humanity or the worst thing for humanity. Yes. That's how it grows. From normal people will come out Ludwig von Beethoven and Adolf Hitler. This is how it works. Rules? Ha! Rules are for animals to understand. And you see how they understand it? They are very good. They are not good in exceptions. Exception, we could understand it. I know that Nelson Mandela is exceptional. Especially, for so long. I learned about the existence of Nelson Mandela before I graduate. I was at the university. How many different situations we observed up to the point that he came out? What is that? Before Mandela, for me, you remember, there was someone else. Sister Teresa was, for me, the exception. There is always the exception. And I love the exceptions. Why? Why do I love exceptions? You tell me. There's no way you know. I was lucky. One of the colleges that I attended, the first one, was art. In the field of art, you're not looking for a rule. What is the rule of art? You want to paint something. You want to paint something unique that has never been here to explain that exceptionalism. That's what art is. Exception. But they're teaching rules. Yes. Because we are the mixture of these two. Here, in this book, we are trying, Rumi is trying to let you understand that. Listen, I'm not talking about you understanding something. Here we're talking about you changing to something else. And for this changing, you should know what you should. You should make this space in here. Do you have a space in here? If physically we are talking, no. Physically, this is the animal. But when I'm talking about Nelson Mandela, am I talking about the animal? No, I'm talking about the anima. The soul, the spirit. What is that? It's being connected. Losing even individuality. I don't think about me. Oh no, but my parents. The hell with my parents. My birthplace. Canada. None of this. These are limitations. I belong to humanity. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to be useful to. Because I believe in values. What is the value? Value is something which is not in me. the respect I get from her is worthy to me. That's what the point is. If I think that I'm going to die, but it will be good for humanity, I'm glad to die. We saw it in Mandela. They went there and said, no, I'm ready to die. Because he was not thinking about himself. Although he was living the life, right? And for a long period of time, the worst kind of it. That's what we are looking for. So, here we started for a long time now, we talk about this dungeon. We talk about the ego, remember. We are talking about my enemy, the one that doesn't like this path. Wants the other one, which is logical one, which is the correct one, yes, which is me being successful, competing, having everything. That is my enemy. Because that one is full of fear and never satisfied. This is something that whenever I talk, I know that the people say. How about you? Are you ready to be satisfied and remain satisfied? Maximum is 6 hours after he eats something, then he's hungry. Means what? Means all the satisfaction is finished. Because that is not satisfaction. Having is not satisfaction. Ah, the satisfaction that Nelson Mandela had, what was that? To believe and think that he is doing the right stuff, the good stuff. For whom? Haha, that's what nobody got it, because everybody we thought that he is trying to do it for black people. And he was not. He was saying that I'm doing it for humanity. There is no difference between black and white for me. And all his miserable life was because he was black. Right? Remember, he had the education and everything, but he was black. He could become a warrior and fighter to kill the whites. Then what? The children of the whites will suffer for a couple of generations, then they revolt to kill the blacks. Then what? Then you see what's going on. This is it. So, please, I make it short. I wasted your time, I'm sorry, but you needed this explanation because this is stories and poetic language, and you could take no matter what nonsenses from this book. If you read it and you're not careful, some of these phrases will provoke some thoughts and some feeling and blah, 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 blah. Please don't do that. Pay attention to that. Where are we? What are we talking about? How he's saying all of this? Really?
Parable of the Kutu, who is the Gnostic united with God, in respect of his dispensing to the people their rations of forgiveness and mercy in the order and degree which God inspires him to observe. And a comparison of him with the lion, for the wild animals partake of the lion's rations and eat his leavings in proportion to their nearness to him, not nearness in space, but nearness and quality. The details of these are many, and God is the guide.
Means what? First of all, when I'm teaching Persian, I don't read even these titles. But for you, I read it. Because the title is there, but I don't know if this title is exactly Rumi's writing or not, because it has changed a lot. But it has some meanings that sometimes is very important. This is one of them. You know why? Okay, you got it. What was he talking about? He said, you know what? I'm comparing the Qutb, the leader, the one that we follow, that enlightened fellow. I compare him to what? First, I explain that he is connected and he has his powers from the source and everything is given to him. Like the lion means that from now on, in these 500 verses that you will hear, so many pages, so many explanations. But remember, when I say lion, it's not you. Lion is the perfect one. It's interesting because in this story, the lion is a worse one, right? This is a lion who doesn't feel good and he doesn't hunt and he's dying out of hunger. Are you paying attention to me or not? The lion is that fellow. Why? Okay, when we explain the lion is a very filthy one. No, this is the story and this is just the beginning. And in the beginning we told you, you didn't get it. Why the fox is trying to help the lion, you tell me. Because the fox is a good one. Fox, in Persian language, means the traitor. Yeah, and it is. It's a tricky animal. Why is he helping the lion? Didn't you pay attention? Because when the lion hunts, he hunts for everyone. He eats a little bit, the rest will be fed. But they don't know it. Now they go hungry and they don't know what they do. The fox knows, the lion, and will try to bring that to this fellow. He explained it that this is why what I'm going to explain to you, that those exceptional fellow that we are talking about, the enlightened one, we owe them everything. We don't know it. Because where do you get your spiritual lessons and teachings? It comes from them. They are the enlightened. They know how could we be. How could you be really happy without having anything for yourself? Just for the happiness of the others, be happy. Because why? Why? Try it. Go and sit down in a group of people. I don't know when you're sitting. Where is the worst place that you sit? When you're waiting for your doctor to call you in. Of course, that's the worst place. Over there, have a book, okay? And start to smile. And look around and smile and look and laugh. After a while, you will see the others start to laugh. Yeah. Even that bad attitude nurse will laugh. Because happiness is something which moves in us. Nobody knows how. When you see miserable people, how do you feel? I never forget this. The experience I had in Peru. I was with someone, we found the best restaurant in Europe. They gave us the best table and the best food. and three children